Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see her righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. The Lord's delight in you and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but in the same God, who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Just as the body is one, there are many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. John. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, They have no wine. And Jesus said to her, Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, Fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This is the first of his signs that Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, if you're paying attention to the words there in the reading, or in the song we just sang, or in the gospel reading, or in the children's message, you might have an idea what I might talk about today. I love, though, in that hymn, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, it's this beautiful hymn, great for Epiphany, talking about God and man made manifest, seeing that in Jesus Christ we have truly God as well. The second stanza, all dedicated to this prophet, priest, and king who comes to as a wedding guest and who changes water into wine, showing that he truly is God. He has the power of God. And then, that whole second stanza dedicated to just that. The third stanza kind of covers everything else. I love it. The first miracle, whole stanza. Third stanza, we'll just cover everything else that Jesus ends up doing. Seems kind of funny to shove it all into one stanza there, but it works out okay for us. In our gospel reading, we do see Jesus showing up to this wedding feast. He and his mother are there, Mary. We assume it's probably then family members, maybe cousins. We're not quite sure who it is here, but for them both to be invited, it's probably a good family affair. Now, Jesus has brought his disciples with himself. He's kind of been gathering them to himself, and they're already learning a little bit about who he is. And at the wedding, which, in case you don't know, these wedding ceremonies in Jesus' day would go on for several days. They would be long, drawn-out, great, wonderful celebrations. There would be also, amongst these celebrations, of course, wine and food, but we have these large stone jars set aside for purification. Purification from sin and dedicating these two sinners as one unit, one family, purified in the Lord and caused to be bridegroom and bride, man and wife, united through their lives. It's really a beautiful thing. And this purification rites is going to really be important for us. Suffice to know for now, there were lots of them, and you needed to be following these purification rites to be doing things the right way. You can imagine all of the time and effort and planning that went into this. Maybe the bridegroom and his family, they've been getting the food ready, the wine ready, and, we're not quite through the whole wedding celebration. Somehow it's come to Mary's attention. We're almost out of wine. This isn't good. We don't want this couple to be starting off on the wrong foot. We don't want people to think this man can't provide for his new wife and his family to come. So she knows that Jesus can do amazing things. She's seen him his whole life and knows that he is different and, in fact, is the one who might be able to help out here. So she comes over to Jesus and says, "Hey, they have no wine." Trying to keep it real hush-hush. Don't want anyone else to know. The wine has run out. This poor bridegroom and his bride, it's not going to look good for him. Now Jesus responds in a way that might sound really off-putting to us. "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Remember, he's not a little child at this point. He's not, "Mommy, what does this have to do with me?" It's okay. He's not, putting Mary down here. It's all right. But he does say, "What does this have to do with me? This is not my job." And also, "My hour has not yet come." Last week we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, and today we're actually going back in time in John to see what happened right before the baptism of our Lord, at least. So it is interesting. We haven't seen the dove come down. We haven't heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my Son with whom, with you I'm well pleased." That hasn't happened yet. His hour has not yet come for his public ministry. And so as he says this, you might think, okay, he's trying to tell Mary, "Not yet, hold on, this sort of thing will come." But mom gets her way. She doesn't even talk to him. She just looks at the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you," and leaves Jesus to it. "Thanks, mom. Thanks. And my hour has not yet come. It's going to happen. Just listen to him. Do whatever he says." Good job, Mary. So sure enough, we hear that there are these six stone water jars there for these Jewish rites of purification. Each one of them could hold 20 or 30 gallons of water, large stone jars. Jesus says to the servants, fill the jars with water. Mary said, listen to him, and he tells us to fill up 6 jars, 20 to 30 gallons of water. Okay, Jesus, sure. They fill it up to the brim, in the original language there, to the top. You can picture it like bubbling at the top, that surface tension, ready to go, full of water. And as he's doing this, as they're doing this, now they're all filled up, ready to go, seemingly for purification purposes. Jesus says, okay, now draw some of it out and take it to the master of the feast. Take it over to the wedding planner, you know, the one who's in charge of this whole affair right now. They bring over the wine. I don't know if they brought it over in a cup or a chalice or a pitcher, but they bring it over to him. He's like, oh, okay, time for the next round of wine. I want to be able to tell people what wine is coming out here. He tastes it, and he's like, oh, man. I've got to talk to the bridegroom here. So he calls the bridegroom over. Now, maybe the bridegroom had been aware. I don't know if maybe the wine was getting pretty low. Like, oh, I hope we can stretch this all out. I don't know. But here they are late on into this, into the whole wedding thing with multiple days in. And the bridegroom is called over to the master of ceremonies, the master of the feast. And he might be wondering, oh no, am I in trouble here? What are we going to do if we're out of wine? He might be shaking in his boots. Well, maybe shaking in his sandals would be more appropriate. He comes over to the master of the feast. He's not sure how it's going to go. And the master of the feast tells him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Oh, well, you're welcome, sir. Yes, good wine now. What's amazing is, in this moment, this man who previously had nothing else to give is provided for in an amazing way with something far greater than he could have given in the first place, the best wine. Now, as Nathan was mentioning before, I don't know, you know, your own personal preferences on wine, if you're red or white or sweet or dry. Suffice to say, this would have been the best wine. It's Jesus-made wine. Even superior to Christ the Vine's production abilities. Even superior. I'm sorry, Dan. This wine would have been amazing. What's amazing for you, though, is you get something far greater. You get to come and receive today. It is Christ the Vine wine. But what makes it amazing is not just the flavor or how it would taste, but in that wine, you receive the very blood of Jesus Christ. You receive what would purify you from sin. In this first of his public miracles, Jesus, from purification jars, provides wine that is necessary for this great celebration. You are provided today Jesus Christ's very blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, to purify you in God's eyes. You receive what we need for this great celebration of life, knowing that we have been given life eternal in Jesus' name. We don't have to worry about having large vats of purification water and following those rituals and wonderful things from the Old Testament that would point towards something far greater. Those purification vessels at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth would serve no purpose other than whatever else you might need that much water for, I suppose. We don't need to worry about providing purification for ourselves or washing ourselves in specific cleansing ritualistic ways. You are fully provided for by Jesus Christ. His purification for you lasts for all eternity, and it comes with great and wonderful celebration. The purification he offers is the best purification there could be. All of the purification that came before was the poor wine in comparison. The purification you receive from Jesus' blood, this is the good wine. is the absolute best you could receive. Now, I also happen to have the seminary on my mind this Sunday. I'm actually going this next week. Bethany and I are going back to Fort Wayne Tuesday through Friday. They have something they call symposia. They do it every year. They have great presentations and papers presented by the professors there on different topics. This week we get to learn about the Nicene Creed. So I'm very excited to go and hear those things and see my friends at the seminary. But as I'm there, I'm reminded that, or as I'm there, I will hear something that I'm reminded of. At chapel, they have every school day throughout the year, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard. You can watch it online. And at the end of the readings, they say, they quote Hebrews, and they say, "In many and various ways, God spoke to our fathers of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." What a wonderful thing to know that all of those things spoken by the prophets and the scriptures of old to our forefathers in the faith, all of those promises, all of those prophecies, they all point to Jesus, and they are all completely fulfilled and done away with by his blood. Not done away with, I should say. Really brought to great fulfillment. But with that said, we can look at things like Isaiah chapter 62, our Old Testament reading from today. And we can see something in great marriage language that is really true for us. You see, in Isaiah 62, God is speaking to his people. And we can pick up in verse 2. "The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give." This new name given, united with God, almost as if, at least in typical U.S. fashion, when the bride would take on the last name of the bridegroom, given this new name. And skipping to verse 4, "You shall no more be termed forsaken. Your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her." Not the catchiest last name, but a pretty amazing one. God's people, now God's church in the new covenant, is called by this name, "My delight is in her." God delights in you because he has united himself to you. You, as a member of God's church, are his delight. Verse 5 continues with this marriage language. "As a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." God rejoices over his church. In fact, God rejoices over you. He has sent Jesus to purify you from sin and to unite you to himself. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. His church is the bride. We are fully connected to Christ. Not even till death do us part, until all eternity. You are God's delight. You are loved by him. You have been fully purified and made right in his eyes. And we hear how this gift comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've already got the Father uniting us through his Son, Jesus. And now we get the Holy Spirit. We had a whole Trinity day. This is wonderful. Take a look at verse 3 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit." And then he goes on to talk about all these different gifts of the Spirit. But he points out in verse 11, all of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, God has looked out for his church in such an amazing way. The Father wanted to purify us. He sent Jesus to do that in his blood shed for us on the cross. And then he's given us his Holy Spirit to put faith in our hearts, to apportion it to you, that you might say, Jesus Christ is Lord. When we say that, it's only by the gift of the Spirit that we can truly understand what it means. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is the perfect bridegroom who gives us what we need when we have nothing to provide. What he has to give is far greater than anything we could provide. He gives us the best wine, his blood, to purify us in the Father's eyes, so that you know you have a new name. You are a part of his church. You are called, my delight is in her, and your God rejoices over you. All of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.